following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hi, and welcome to Refuge Daily. It's Michael Rogers, and I'm here on this thankful Thursday wanting to share a few things with you about our Lord and our Savior, and I just am grateful that I get to do this on the thankful Thursday. This is a time just before the Resurrection Sunday that we celebrate, and oftentimes in some traditions, church traditions, they celebrate this as Maundy Thursday. Some of you may have heard that. It's M-A-U-N-D-A-Y, Maundy Thursday. And that's basically talking about the time when Jesus was at the Last Supper, or what we call the Last Supper. It was the Last Supper that he had had with his disciples there during the Passover time. And he was getting ready to go to the cross, as you know. And we know that because we have his word that tells us that, and the accounts that the apostles had given us in the Gospels. It was a beautiful time when you think about on that Thursday before what we call Good Friday, where he hung on the cross. He met with his disciples, as you know, in what we call the Last Supper, and he let them know some things that were very important. And as he has always done, he set great examples of what we should do as followers of Jesus Christ and followers of him. And so one of the things that he had done was the washing of the feet of his disciples. And that's accounted for in John's Gospel. And I'll share that with you in just a minute. But the beauty of that is when we think of God coming down in the form of man, living amongst us and serving, being the servant, and then actually going ultimately to the cross and taking the sins of the world upon himself. But the beauty of that is that we get to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, or what we often call Easter. So in John's Gospel, I want to share with you in chapter 13, he says, he writes, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth and now loved them to the very end." Speaking of that love, is just beautiful the way that John accounts for this. And this is the New Living Translation. "It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured out water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him." What a beautiful picture that is of Jesus as being the servant. And of course, we know some of the rest of the story there, where Peter, he saw what Jesus was doing, and he says, no, not me, Lord. I'm not worthy. You're the leader. You're the master. You're God. I don't want to be, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to wash your feet. And if I don't wash your feet, then you're not really going to be a part of me. And so that speaks of the part where we let Jesus serve us. When we accept what he's done in his service to us, when we accept what God has done by sending his son to die for us on the cross, which is what we celebrate when we do celebrate, or when we remember Good Friday on what happened on that day. And then in Luke's Gospel, speaking of the servanthood, I think is just such a beautiful example in the way that Luke writes it as well. He, of course, Jesus had taken the cup after supper, and he said, "With this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." We celebrate that when we celebrate communion. The last time I got to share with you, I shared about communion. I didn't want to be irreverent about it and not make a big deal about it. But what I wanted to do is to encourage you not to let it be too ceremonial. When we think of the beauty of it, We don't have to make it too complicated, but when we think of what actually happened, we know that was complicated. We know that was a very, very big deal, and don't want to be irreverent about it at all. And then he explained, Jesus had said after he had taken the wine and talked about the new covenant, that he says, but here at this table sitting among us as a friend is the man who will betray me. For it had been determined that the Son of Man must die, but that sorrow awaits the one who betrays him. And we know that as Judas, right? And the disciples didn't know that at the time, and they're looking at each other saying, well, who is this? Who is he talking about? I hope it's not me. And I certainly wouldn't want it to be me either. But we know now who that was, and we have the account of that. And then Jesus said, then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among themselves, which one of them was better than the other, and how sad that is. But Jesus told them, he said, in this world, the kings and the great men lord it over the people, yet they are called friends of the people. You notice how we have people in leadership that sometimes call themselves our friends, and the actions that they take don't seem to be very friendly towards us, particularly as Christians. I think Jesus is making a very clear statement there, and we actually even see that today. He says in verse 26, he says, but among you, it will be different. There will those who are greatest among you should take the lowest rank. He's given us another good teaching and example. He demonstrated this in how he lived. And he says, you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be a servant, be like a servant. The leaders being servants, servant leaders. That's what he calls us to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. He says, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? And then he says, of course, the one who sits at the table, of course, is more important. Talking about the culture at that time, the servants, from the worldly standpoint, weren't considered high up. They were serving. And the person sitting there being served was the one who had the higher up position. But he says, the one who sits at the table, of course, but he says, but not here, not in my kingdom, not in what I'm trying to get across to you. He says, for I am among you as the one who serves. And Jesus was the perfect example of that. Not only washing their feet, but all through his ministry, all through his time with them, he was serving, he was caring, he had compassion for people. And he set the example for us to have compassion for people. How beautiful a picture it is that the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, God of all things, would come down and wash the feet of his disciples. So, yeah, I'm going to have to stop here for a second. Okay. So, hi there again, brothers and sisters. I got a visit from the Marine Patrol here. I was apparently parked in a loading zone and a restricted loading zone, and they were letting me know that very kindly as I was recording. So a little interruption there, but a lot of grace. She just kind of smiled at me and gave me read me a little bit of the law, the different law that we have here, so I had to move my vehicle. But anyway, back to the part of Jesus being a servant and washing the feet of his disciples, and the example that was set there, as we think about how we are to love one another, and he tells us that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. I just want to encourage you today on this Thursday, this thankful Thursday for me, a Monday Thursday for many who are celebrating in that way, considering the washing of the feet. And I think it's just very symbolic. I'm not suggesting that you go out and wash anybody's feet today, but if you feel led to do that, I think that there's lots of different ways that you can express Jesus's love in servanthood by just doing something, looking for a need somewhere. And you could even pray that God would show you someone else's need. And you know, if he's going to show you someone else's need, I'm pretty confident that he's also going to give you the ability to meet that need in some ways. So pray about that and be encouraged today as we look forward to Resurrection Sunday. We'll get through Good Friday, and sorry for the long message, but that little interruption, I just needed to move my vehicle. God bless you, and let me pray for us all. Father, thank you so much for this time that we can remember your love for us by sending Jesus. And the heartbreak that we think about when we think about what happened on the cross, but also the beauty of it that we have the opportunity to have our sins forgiven and then to spend eternity with you. So I pray for all who are listening today. I pray for their families, friends, and neighbors, that you would just pour out your blessings in your Holy Spirit, and that they would all come to know you if they don't. And if they do, that they would be encouraged to love one another in the way that you have demonstrated for us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a great Thursday, and we will talk to you soon.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.